This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, November 2nd, 2025. The ruthless elimination of hurry, simplicity.
Everybody, take a breath. Take a breath. Like that video. It's like, no, it's not that kind of breath. Okay. Just brush your teeth. All right. Sorry. Imagine gathering with a small group to answer the same question every single week for the rest of your life. That's kind of radical, doesn't it? The early Methodist Christians in 18th century England and America were zealously committed to fellowship and accountability. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist movement, his strategy was to organize believers in various kinds of small groups where they would spur one another on to work out their salvation in Christ together. And the most common and powerful question that they would ask every single week was simply this: how is your soul? Every week, how is your soul? How is it with your soul? In other words, how is your life with God? How are you really doing? How are you doing in the place that nobody sees but God? How are you progressing in grace? Growing with Jesus? How is your soul? Powerful question. The other week, I had a Zoom meeting. Seems like I have some of those every week. Anybody relate? And like always, I opened the link and I, you know, took that laptop camera. I kind of adjusted the angle, made sure it was a good angle with my office and where I was sitting. You know, it wasn't looking up my nose or something. It was just a good angle. And then, you know, got into the meeting and it hit me. This is what we do with our lives all the time, you know, with relationships we have, communities, even especially in the church. We choose where to point the camera. We choose where to point the camera, whatever's going to be on that frame and what's going to be off the frame. You know, there could be a really decent picture inside that camera that people see, but like any number of things can be happening outside that frame that nobody has to know about. You're sitting there in the Zoom meeting, and for all people know, the other part of the house could be on fire. They wouldn't even know. There could be kids in the kitchen dumping out a bag of flour all over the house. Or, some of you relate to this from COVID times, you might be only dressed for work from the waist up, for all they know, right? But you choose where to point the camera. That's why the Methodists would always ask the question every week, how is your soul? How are you really doing? So how often do you get to examine and honestly share the condition of your soul? The reason I bring this up today as we finish our series on the ruthless elimination of hurry is I just kind of want to round this off and check in with everybody. If you've been with us through these last 5 weeks or so, how is your soul? As you have heard these biblical teachings on hurry and Sabbath and solitude and the easy yoke of Jesus, how has that landed with you? What has God been stirring in your life? If you can honestly say, you know, I've been feeling conviction from God in this series. Or, you know, I've been thinking about how I'm doing, and honestly, I'm not well. It is not well with my soul, at least for part of it. My life has not been aligned fully with Jesus and his way and his yoke. If you can honestly say that, then I want you to know three things this morning. Number one, there is no shame in that honest answer. There is no shame and just giving an honest answer with the Lord and with other people, trusted people, to just say, really, this is how I'm doing. God values that. What he doesn't want is hypocrisy, which means wearing a mask, faking it. If you're not doing great, be honest. God will meet you there. Number two, know that you're not the only one. You're not the only one who's got a fire in the next room off the camera, okay? You're not the only one who's struggling sometimes. Number three, the good news hasn't changed. Jesus is here, and the kingdom of God is near. That's what he preached, okay? And whatever your condition is today, when you think about how is my soul, if things are not good, the truth is still there. The gospel is still there. You can step into the reality of his kingdom right here, right now. Every day is a new day. His mercy is new. Every morning, you can step into his kingdom right now. He shed his blood so that you could enter in. All right? So are you ready now for one more topic in this Ruthless Elimination of Hurry series? You ready to dig in? Let's say a prayer and let's hear God's word this morning. God, thank you for your abundant, overwhelming, unimaginable grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Grace that is greater than all the burdens and things we face. Lord God, we want to meet with you in this moment. Let this be sacred time where we give you our undivided focus, eyes on Jesus. And may the prayer in our hearts be, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Speak, Lord. We invite you to take over and lead us and do what only you can do, Lord God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. So our final topic for the series is simplicity. Simplicity. When's the last time you thought about that? Simplicity. And our main scripture is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This teaching of Jesus actually has a lot to do with how we answer the question, how is your soul? You catch that last line? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Has a lot to do with how is your soul? Because it has a lot to do with whether our lives are going to be dominated by anxious hurry or not. It often helps to kind of look at the bigger context of a scripture. You look at a few verses, but then kind of zoom out and see what does it say around them? What is the bigger picture happening in this verse? And so when you look at what happens, the verses that come right after this passage in Jesus' teaching, it really reveals a lot. This part of the Gospel of Matthew is called the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe you've heard of it. It's Jesus' most famous sermon, the most impactful sermon in history. It was just packed with content that you could spend a lifetime studying and still not get to the end of it. And in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5 through 7, this whole part, Jesus is focusing on how money and possessions impact our life with God and his kingdom. And so for 16 verses, he's talking about treasures. You can open your Bible and see in Matthew chapter 6. For these 16 verses, Jesus is talking about the topics of money, possessions. He's talking about where we put our treasures. He's talking about having a generous eye or a healthy eye versus a stingy eye or an unhealthy eye. He's talking about whether you worship God or you worship money, you know, the idolatry of wealth. And then he talks about not worrying about the stuff of life. And so what's interesting to note is that as he's kind of focusing for this section on these possessions and wealth and that sort of thing, he finishes that section by landing on the topic of worry. And he's pointing out that the type of relationship we have with stuff has a very direct impact on whether or not we live lives of anxiousness or not. So you probably heard this other section of his sermon where he talks about, you know, the birds of the air and the flowers of the field and seeking first the kingdom of God. You might have heard those teachings before. Well, he starts that part with this, to me, kind of jarring statement. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" Leave it to Jesus to make everything so ridiculously simple and challenging at the same time. It's like, seriously, Jesus? Worrying about survival is how I survive. How do I not worry about surviving? Like, I got bills to pay, I got kids to feed. Like, what are you saying? But you're saying, don't worry? Life is more than that, he says. Don't worry. Let's just focus in on that one simple word, worry, for a moment. Do not worry. This word, worry, or anxious, occurs 19 times in the New Testament. Mostly it's used in a negative sense. And the Greek word for it, the New Testament is written in Greek. The Greek word is merimnao. You don't try to say that fast, you might pull a muscle. It's all right. Merimnao is a Greek word that it has the connotation, I find this so interesting, it's the implication of being drawn in opposite directions, being divided into pieces, being pulled apart. And the first time I learned that and thought about all the parts of Scripture where it talks about worry, I just thought, my goodness, that is a really powerful description of what it feels like to be in anxiousness, to be, you know, kind of burdened by all the cares of life. It's like you're being pulled in all these different directions and you can't focus on one thing. You're just pulled apart. Have you ever felt like that when the cares of life are just weighing down on you and it's like you're being pulled apart? I'm sorry to say that I really relate and understand what that feels like. Anybody else here? But Jesus says, very simply, don't worry about all that stuff. Don't worry about all these things. Let's return to the definition of hurry from the very first week we began this series. Do you remember this? Dallas Willard said, hurry involves excessive haste or a state of urgency, a state of frantic effort one falls into in response to inadequacy, fear, or guilt. See how all this fits together? Jesus is showing us that one of the primary drivers of an anxious, hurried life in this world is a false, out-of-balance relationship with stuff. Money, possessions, food, clothing. If you do not seek first the kingdom of God and live in quiet trust that your heavenly Father knows your need, you'll fall into a life of fear, pulled apart by the cares of life. If you do not store up treasures in heaven, but put all of your treasures in the stuff of this life, you'll find your heart weighed down by the cares of life because you'll live in constant fear over preserving those things in which your heart resides. Now let's think. When you look around our world and this culture that we live in, which does our culture emphasize? Storing up treasures in heaven or storing up treasures on earth? Easy A, right? Easy answer. Our world is dominated by the pursuit of earthly treasures, right? And when you realize that, is it any wonder that our world tends to be dominated by a mindset of hurry and worry rather than peace and contentment and simplicity? You know, I heard one pastor say that when you look at our culture here in America, probably a lot of other cultures in the Western world too, but you know, especially right here, right now, more than ever, he said, we are living in a third soil culture. What did he mean by that? Well, Jesus told the parable of the soils. Remember, he told the parable of the four different types of soils where the farmer scattered seed. And this one is in Matthew 12, I think. Actually, 13, I'm sorry. And there were four different types of soils. You know, the rocky soil on the path, the soil where the seed just sat there and the birds came and took it away. And there was the soil where the weeds and the thorns came and grew and choked out the seeds, right? And then there was the fourth soil where it was good soil and it was an abundant harvest. Well, the third soil, he said, this is Matthew 13:22, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. The worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word. We're living in a third soil culture. A lot of the struggle is worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth and materialism prevent God's word from sometime fully taking root and bearing the fruit that it's meant to in our life, okay? John Mark Comer, in this chapter, he contrasts the gospel of the American dream with the gospel of the kingdom, okay? The gospel of the kingdom can be defined like this. The good news that the life you've always wanted is fully available to you right where you are through Jesus. Through him, you have access to the Father's loving presence. Nothing, not your income level or stage of life or health or relational status, nothing is standing between you and the life that is truly life. This is why Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. Go and read Matthew 5. It's like the opposite of what we think is blessed, but Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is here right now through me, and anybody can have access to this good, thriving, amazing, abundant kingdom of God by just saying yes to Jesus. Nothing stands in the way of it. That's Jesus' message. In contrast, the gospel of the American dream, if you will, is basically the more you have, the happier you'll be. The more you have, the happier you'll be. Isn't that the message all around us? Get this, and you'll be fulfilled. You'll live the life you've always wanted. Just get this. And then there's another this, and another, and another, and another, and it never ends. And it's never enough. If our view of stuff and what we're seeking most in life is driven by the gospel of Jesus, we'll grow in an increasing sense of contentment, peace, and valuing the things that matter most. The things of God, the things of eternity, the things that nothing can take away from us. If, on the other hand, we're driven by the gospel of the American dream or the gospel of materialism or whatever you want to call it, we will grow in a sense of hurry and distraction and anxiousness and fear, because in that mindset, there's never enough. You'll never get to the carrot hanging on the end of that string. You'll never get to the top of that ladder. You'll never achieve enough security to protect the treasures of earth from the things that destroy. And even if you make it to the end and it's all intact, you can't take any of it with you. So in the midst of these contrasting views of life, God consistently calls us to simplicity. Simplicity of life and resources. Simplicity of focus and priorities. Simplicity of heart and mind. A life of wholeheartedness. A life of single-mindedness. Life in this world gets complicated. But Jesus' way is simple. And so he spoke to this again and again. Here's some examples from the Gospels. We read two of them already today. You know, in Matthew 6, he said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. Do not worry about tomorrow. He said in Luke 12, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. There's the story of Martha and Mary from Luke chapter 10, where he said, Martha, Martha, you are worried, there's that word again, worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. In the same way, the Apostle Paul, he said in Philippians 4, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. That's the secret. Jesus is the secret to being content. Wouldn't that be nice? If life was just simple and you could just be content right where you were, well, the secret is Jesus. You can do this through Christ, and you will look very different from the surrounding world. It's a gift, and it's here for us. The point is, in a hurried, chaotic, divided world that is being pulled apart by the cares of life, following Jesus leads to a simplified life, the good life. Okay? You know, like, do you own your possessions or do your possessions own you? Do you control your calendar or does your calendar control you? Do you rule your thoughts or do your thoughts rule you? Simple life in God's kingdom with a single-minded, wholehearted focus. And by the way, I'm still figuring it out too. That's why I'm a disciple. That's why I'm learning. He's teaching me all the time. And sometimes it hurts, right? But it's good. It's good. We can end this whole series with a very simple question. I want you to think about this and go with this today. Where is God calling me to simplify my life so that I can live with a more single-minded, wholehearted focus on his kingdom? If you can discover what that is right now, with God's help, and live into it with God's help, you will be well on your way to unhurrying your life and anchoring yourself to the life that is truly life. Life in God's kingdom, life with Jesus. The world will not lead you into this. In fact, the opposite. But with Jesus, he will take you there. Let's trust and follow him today. Remember, his burden is light and his yoke is easy. And if you feel like you need a reset in your life, maybe after this series, just been a lot you're thinking about, or just today, if you feel like you need a reset, then the best place to come is to the table of the Lord. What we're about to do here together is the simple gospel, where Jesus gave us his life, his body, his blood for our salvation. If you need a reset, if you need to simplify, start here. He'll show you exactly what the one thing that matters is. And you go from there. Let's pray together and let's get ready to come to the Lord's table this morning. Would you pray with me? God Almighty, thank you for keeping it simple with us. Lord, our lives get so complicated and so burdened. And there's plenty of legitimate fears that we have. We sometimes face struggles and hardships and trials where we're uncertain about how the next bill is going to get paid or how we're going to make it through this struggle, how we're going to take care of this or that or the other. And it's hard in this life, Lord. But thank you that because of Jesus, you give us the opportunity to live a simple life and be at peace and contentment and trust and faith, even when we're not sure about tomorrow. Today's enough for today. And you said, don't worry. Help us be people whose hearts are whole and single focused for you, that we remember in all seasons and all time and all circumstances, the one thing that we have to worry about is the kingdom of God. And you said, if we seek that first, all other things will be given and taken care of. Give us the gift of faith today to see your kingdom and to live in your kingdom, Lord. And I just pray for every person here, as they get the opportunity to come and receive the body and blood of Christ today, that this would be that great reset for them. If there's a lot of cares and worries, pull them in different directions, that as they receive the gift of Christ afresh today, that you would just reset all of it and bring it back down to square one, where you tell us the only thing we have to worry about is your kingdom. You will take care of the rest. We don't always know how, but you're going to do it. As we get ready to come to this table, Lord, we want to confess to you. And we want to sit with that question, how is my soul? And so just take a moment and with God, answer that question. How is your soul as you come to receive communion? Is there anything you need to confess? Sin you need to just let go of? Burdens you need to lay down? Something that is good that you need to celebrate and remember to give God the glory for? Whatever it is, how is your soul? Take a moment. Give that to him.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.